Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies of the riches of God. And with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider today the riches of His glory. And we're going to be reading from the first chapter of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles near at hand and care to read with us, we will be reading in that chapter. Let's define our terms. What is glory, and especially personal glory? Webster says, praise, honor, or distinction accorded by common consent. It is an aura that surrounds a person. It's his reputation. Now, the word in the scriptures is doxa, from which we get our word doxology. It's a burst of praise, a hymn of praise to God. And it is that aura that distinguishes him from anybody else and displays his attributes. It is not an acquired glory as far as God is concerned, but inherently his, and reveals that glory to us from the display of those attributes. Now, we're going to talk today about the glories, his riches of glory, under the glory of his grace, the glory of his power, the glory of his position, and the glory of his person. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. I think we should read at verse 5 first of all. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now you see here, we have the glory of his grace, and we have in the next verse, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now we have two terms here, the glory of his grace and the riches of his grace. But are those glories his in the sense of riches? They certainly are. And we're going to distinguish between the two in these. Now, in the matter of verse 7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, it brings this thought before us. Riches speak of abundance, and there's abundance of forgiveness in God. He gave his son to die for our sins, and he died for the sins of the world. Every person living on this earth could go to heaven by reason of what Christ did on that cross. Now, they're not all going, unfortunately. But he made room for all. It was the riches of his grace. Out of his riches, he made provision for everybody. We read in the scripture, God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. Now, what are we going to say about the glory of his grace? Well, he has made us accepted in the beloved. The one took away our sins, and the other gave us something. One took away our sins, and the other gives us the place of Christ in the council and in the presence and in the heart of God. Now, one says, no, you can't say that seriously. We can't have the place of Christ. Yes, we can have the place of Christ, but not in his person, if you understand what I mean. But he has brought us into his council chambers and made us at home in his own presence. I think the story can be illustrated by the story of a judge. I heard this story years ago, and I'm not sure I can tell it in its complete detail, but I certainly do remember the point. This judge had a young man come before him one day that was accused of a minor crime. The judge was drawn to the young man as he saw him stand before his bench. And we'll understand why he was drawn to him in a few moments. And after the testimonies were all given, he was adjudged to be guilty, and he was fined a fine. And the judge, after the verdict, got up off his bench and went over to the clerk of court and pulled out his wallet and paid the fine himself. Now, that was according to his riches of his grace. But then he said to the young man, I want you to come into my chambers. And the young man came into the judge's chambers after the court had dismissed. And the judge said, sit down, I want to talk with you. He says, son, I'm very, very much attracted to you, and I'm going to tell you why. We lost our boy a short time ago. He looks like you. You look exactly like him. Would you be willing to come and live with us and occupy his room? Imagine that if you would, please. Is the story true? I don't know. I just read the story. God has done exactly that. He has given us the place of Christ. That's what we read. Being predestinated, having predestinated us rather, unto the adoption of children, the placing of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We know that we are the sons of God. And oh, what a glory that is. 1 John chapter 3 tells it so distinctly. And so we have the glory of his grace. And then we have the glory of his power. We read in the glory of his power, we read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, the glory of his power. This is in the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, here is the glory of his grace. The riches of his grace took away our sins. But the glory of his grace is that he has given us the power to live for Christ. A good many people, I fear, are repelled from Christianity by the fact that they couldn't live it. They say, I couldn't live it. And they don't come. Bless your heart. We don't have to live it. The Spirit of God gives us the power. We've got power to live for God. It's not of us when we live for God and are a credit to him. It is of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the apostle says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is the glory of his grace. Now let's talk about the glory of his power. In Galatians we read, the glory of his power is that he produces the works of Christ within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Same thing as Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul prayed for the Colossians that they might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We have power to live the Christian life. But after the Christian life is lived, Christ is by his power going to speak us into his presence. If we know the Lord, we're going to be raptured when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And with this we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's going to shout. He comes from heaven with a shout, the shout that wakes the dead. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. We're going to be changed. We're not going to die. We're going to be changed to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that happens to millions of people. He shouts, and in the power of his voice, he raises millions of people into his presence. Now that is the glory of his power. Now we speak of the glory of his position in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 32. The Lord is speaking about his coming to occupy the millennial throne in the coming kingdom when our Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. And the Lord is now taking us to that throne that takes place before that kingdom is established. And that is in Matthew 25, verses 31, 32. And there we read, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them the one from the other, and as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and the sheep nations go into his kingdom, and the goat nations are sent to the lost eternity, hell prepared for the devil and his angels. We read there in that 25th chapter, it was never prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And they go there because they do not accept Christ. Now that's the glory of his position. He's going to be on the throne. He's going to rule over this world. They thought they got rid of him when they crucified him on the cross. Oh no. Christ is going to come back to this world where we live and breathe and have our being, and he's going to reign on his throne in this world for 1,000 years. And this is the glory of his position and the glory of his power to reign. Now, the glory of his person is brought before us in John chapter 17, verse 24. We read there, the Lord Jesus is praying for his own. He knows he's going to the cross in John chapter 17. He knows that he's in the eve of that crucifixion day. And he's praying for his own that God gave him. And he prays to the Father, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is the glory of his person. Let me say the glory of his attributes are great. We've talked about the glory of his grace. We've talked about the glory of his power. We've talked about the glory of his position. But his personal glory is greater than all the rest of the glories combined. Those attributes that he exercises bring forth his glory. But he wants us to see the glory of his person. And we're going to be like him in that coming day. Oh, the day that's ahead of the children of God. But now if we don't know him, we will be left outside of all of this. We shall never see his glory. It was the glory of God that struck down Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus when he went up there to apprehend the Christians. And he was blind for 3 days until Ananias came and gave him his sight. That was just a glimpse of his glory. We couldn't take it now. But we're going to have new bodies. We're going to be in his presence and see that glory that he requests of the Father that we shall see. And it's going to be wonderful. Our Father, today, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will take of our thanks for your glories displayed in Christ and the riches of those glories. We thank you in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.